April 8, 2020. It's a lot from Pedro's show. Show. Happy Wednesday. Let's turn the fucking monitor off, Watt. You know, next month it'll be 19 years and I still am blowing fucking clans doing this shit. Just talking to a brother Matt on the fucking horn, trying to get the Skype in a three-way, but I think in the future we will be, because we're only 3 miles away, people. He's on the Pleasure Point there at Love Grotto, and I'm over here by the between the hospital and the church. You know, I used to wash pots and pans at this hospital in the good old 70s for $1.20 an hour. Yeah. Let's make it great again. There was a good benefit, though, because I was the last dude to see the pots and pans before they went in the sink. So if there was some chow. I mean, this ain't the shit off the trays from the room. This is from the cook. So.
Oh, yeah.
There was a good benefit that way. 180 degree water too, so the germ kill and it's interesting experiments with skin. Good people, you can probably hear my guests over there. We started the show with John Coltrane doing Aisha, and then Lazarus by Bark. And Lazarus is a trippy guy because he gets risen, so it's kind of a premonition for this Sunday coming up, but also maybe for the shit we got, you know. I just think we got to get ready for the next one. I can't believe this is going to be You know what I mean? We got to learn stuff from this time around. And
oh, yeah.
Thank God we're in the music bracket, and so we can do this. You know, compose and record the sequestered mode. I think, well, whoever it was, Shakespeare and Stratford-upon-Avon or 17th Earl of Oxford, whoever it was, wrote that shit. Well, but King Lear was written in a lockdown with the plague and shit. So. You heard my guest there. It's Tim and Sue from Bark out in Knoxville here. Welcome aboard, people.
Hello.
Who wants to go first?
Let Tim go first.
Tim, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Probably one of my earliest recollections, period, was sitting in front of the TV with my family watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. That was in Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay. I remember a club there called Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
You do. I played there the night of the daytime was graduation of the police academy. It was an interesting. One day I'm going to play Oxford. Okay. In the pad you grew up in, was there instruments?
Yeah, you know, we had a piano, and I had sisters that played the piano, and everybody in my family was a good singer but me. And, you know, somebody gave my brother a guitar that sat in the closet till I pulled it out when I was 13.
But you never played the piano?
No.
Okay. Because there's a whole, you know, a lot of people on the show that big mixed results. I think it depended on the teacher whether it was positive or negative. But your brother turns you on to the guitar.
Well, no, he just had it, and it was in the back of the closet. And so, like, when I was in junior high, this kid moved to our neighborhood from New Jersey who had an electric guitar, and we all were like, holy crap, human beings can actually have those in their house. And I remember this one in my closet. And, you know, so we all got a hold of something and started – you know, banging out awful classic rock riffs on single strings.
Now, he had an amplifier probably.
Yeah, he had like a Tysco guitar and like one of those tiny, you know, amp like you'd get from Sears or Montgomery Ward or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it sounded like magic to us, you know.
But you didn't. You had an acoustic.
Well, it was a semi-hollow body K.
Oh,
neck.
Okay.
It was like
okay.
An inch off the neck, you know. It was a...
arched up.
Yeah,
kind of. I had a Tysco too, you know. Yeah. They were fucking sold in the 50s for $8.95 or shit, hanging on, you know, the metal trees.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Know? So, you know, William Tell bow and arrow action, right? You could stick your own hand between the string and the fretboard. That's to build up strength and character.
That's right.
And character.
Character.
Character. Yeah. That, you know, when nobody comes.
From one of those, you had character for sure.
Well, that word came again, you know, when me and D. Boone and Georgie started doing gigs. And if there was no people at the gig, we called them character builders.
Yeah, we still do that.
Oh, well, we do too. We call them caves too.
Take half dozen you know, faces and rock them all.
Yeah. So you're doing riffs. So you're trying to learn shit off records, right?
Yeah, you know, anything that could be played on one string, like School's Out or Smoke on the Water, just the riff. You know, we had no idea that you could actually play chords to those songs or anything like that.
You know, Smoke on the Water, what song ripped that? They ripped that off. No disrespect, Richie Blackmore, whatever. I've heard him say he hated punk so many times, but whatever.
Yeah.
It's loose.
Yeah.
It's fucking true. Loose. Don't tell anybody.
Okay.
Your secret's safe. You can do that Renaissance shit, you know. He married a U.S. lady, right, and he's doing Renaissance. I mean, the motherfucker could play. I guess he grew up near Jeff Beck, and the cats could play, okay.
Oh, yeah.
No disrespect. So what about in school? Were you in the band or the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, but in my junior high, this was cool. We had an English teacher who played guitar, and we had all these clubs that would meet once a week, you know, the math club or the chess club or whatever.
Sure.
And this,
the chess club is where I smoked moat at Pedro High.
There you go. Well, this guy hosted a guitar club, and we'd all get together, and he'd take, like, you know, current songs that were on the radio, like Angie by the Rolling Stones or something,
yeah,
and write out the words and the chords, and you know, by then I had a Mel Bay chord book and I could figure it out and kind of strum chords. But he was cool because, like, one week he would bring an electric guitar and an amp and let us play it. The next week he'd bring, like, a 12-string acoustic and let us try it. And so he just kind of exposed us all to a bunch of different guitars and showed us how to, you know, kind of play folk music or something.
And this was a teacher.
Yeah, it was a teacher. He was really cool.
That's bitching.
Funny thing is, he ended up being a really good, really close friend to my mother in the last few years before she died. He was just completely unconnected.
Well, that shows you, man, a good spirit's a good spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just for show with some people.
I know. Yeah, he was a real deal.
I like that. What about the thing after school in the cellar, in the basement or the bedroom, those kind of bands?
Oh, man, yeah. We, you know, of course, like everybody, when I was 14, 15, we all would get together and play, you know, Johnny B. Goode or Jumpin' Jack Flash for 30 minutes and talk about how we were going to start a band and we were going to do this and we were going to do that. And we never did, of course, but we played a lot. And, you know, one day when I was in high school, I just decided, oh, well, if I want to be in a band, I guess I have to start one and I have to go book a gig and I have to do all this stuff. And where I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, you know, obviously nobody was playing original music and there were like three of us who knew who the New York Dolls were. And, but, you know, so we started this cover band and played like hard rock stuff, Thin Lizzy and stuff, and actually played kind of professionally in high school. And the whole time wishing I was the guitar player in Patti Smith's band or something.
Lenny K.
Yeah, I wanted to be him, you know, but I wanted to be in that band, you know.
What was the name of this band?
What was it? Oh, that band was called Snowblind.
Black Sabbath.
That's a bad name.
Have you ever heard the England version, Volume 4, right?
Yeah.
The England version, Ozzy actually says cocaine at the beginning.
Yeah. I think we actually saw it on the cover of saw that word on the cover of a Hoyt Axton album or something fairly obscure.
Okay. I think it wasn't done in England. It was done in Malibu, and I think they were all in the shit big time.
Oh, but yeah.
It's one of the better, I think, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, and then it's over. So it's one of the good ones towards the end. They brought in synth. So that's okay. Yeah, Geezer had a big effect on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a big effect on me. So this band ran its course. You went to college. Did you still do music?
I kind of half-assed went to college and was playing on the weekends and stuff and dropped out after, you know, a year and a half or something.
Yeah.
You know, just kept plugging away and then started trying to, like, write songs and make records, you know, because by now you're talking the early 80s. And,
yeah.
There was the beginnings of an independent music scene, and you could put out records and get written about in fanzines and
New York Rocker.
Yeah, like the first time we got written about
New York Rocker, Andy Schwartz
blew up. Yeah, it was awesome. It was just, you know, at that, you know, like there were those milestones. Like the first time I got to play at CBGB's, the first time we got written about New York Rocker, it was like, holy crap, this dumb kid from Mississippi can put stuff out in the world, you know. It was cool.
Well, fuck, Tupelo, right, Elvis? I mean, Mississippi ain't that.
Yeah, he kind of put it out.
Look, I want to play Recipe for Disaster.
We're always waking up the neighbors at night. Mom. survive. Thank you.
Show, Recipe for Disaster, Bart, then Mano de Bongo with Sol Macaso. I think COVID-19 got, he's an older gentleman, but man, that is a bad tune, and thanks James Burns for hitting me. Really beautiful, early 70s, and it, man, bitch. Gareth Sager after that with Life on Mars, Gareth, the pop group guys at quite in quarantino mode, so he's got a out-of-tune piano there, and he's just plunking, and he asked me to give him some tracks, which, I know D. Boone is fucking laughing his head off. after that, Bello with the Fichazo y los Atos de Choque, and then Sake
No, Sica, but they spelled it S-E-I-C-H-E. These are guys right out of high school in 1971. They did one gig and pressed 50 records. Good old days, right?
Yeah.
And it's called Dissonant Toys. And then Alexander DeLarge out of Milano with the ukulele version of Corona. And now D-Boom did not have a premonition. This is about a lady collecting bottles so she could trade them in to feed her babies. Yeah, it had nothing to do with the virus. Bill's Pump from Leeds with Sling Your Hook, which stars a dog barking. Yeah, somebody's got to sing, right? Trotsky Ice Pick, Clyde's Planet, first music from them in 20 years. That's got John from Urinal singing, Kel on guitar. The Cutthroat Brothers, Candy Cane. That's these cats from Hawaii. They're barbers. I don't think you can... Yeah, I think they're out of work now. But they, I had them on the show, and they, you know, it's just bass and drums, huh? You might relate to this. That poor, that poor lonely kick drum. I'm just, oh my God, heartbroken. So they said, "Why, come on." So I added some bass, and it got thrown in there with it. Now, Sue, your turn. Your earliest musical recollection.
My first 45 was. Susie Q, CCR.
Oh, yeah, because they didn't write it, right?
Yeah. But my dad thought that's what he called me, you know, then. And
I actually think it was the second one. I think Porterville was the first one.
Yeah.
But what was trippy about it was, for me, Little Johnny Jewel was the same way, because you had the first side, and then you flipped it over, and it was the rest of the song. It faded back in. Yeah, and Susie Q. Now, when I met D. Boone, the only rock band he knew was Creedence. And he had learned that whole fucking solo, even with the little tile fire, little pull-offs and shit.
Creedence comes back around for me significantly later.
Well, if you're in the boat with Watt, you're getting all fucking six records in order. Be careful. Ask Mike Baghetta if you ask for Creedence in the boat.
But,
What about in the pad? Was there instruments?
No. Well, I got a piano for Christmas, but that was much later. And my first piano teacher was cool, but my next one, she was not interested in me learning any of her students learning any popular music. So I lost interest pretty quickly.
Okay.
But my first concert, I was, 9 years old, and me and my best friend saw the Monkees.
Whoa.
At 9 years old. Our moms drove us up to the big city and got us in our seats, and we saw the Monkees.
I wonder if Danny Ho was on drums. You know, there's this guy who played only like 4 or 5 years, then disappeared. He was in the Birds and shit, but he was also in the Monkees, too.
Yeah.
Like the playing band.
It was late, what, 68, 69?
Sure, that's around the period.
Yeah.
Well, what about at school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I did some choir in church, and I was in marching band. I played flute in high school.
Okay. So you learned to read music.
I did.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That all disappeared pretty quickly, but yeah.
Still, you went and did it.
I
remember people telling me it was kind of hard because you had to keep the embouchure while you're walking on the lip.
Yeah.
I heard the bone in the baritone sousaphone was easiest because the big-ass mouthpieces.
Yeah.
French horn, I heard, was tough. Because it bounced, you know, as you're walking. Well, did you do the thing with the band after school in the bedroom or the basement or the garage?
I did none of that. Okay. I did none of that. Tim and I met and in 80, I think it was.
That's when Nightmare started, January 80.
Yeah, got married in 81, and then he toured, he played and toured all over the place in the 80s. I went back to school at one point, and then, we lived in Oxford, Mississippi for most of the 90s, and we both were back in school, and he had kind of dropped out of music. And then we moved here in Knoxville in 2000, was it? In 2000. And right at the beginning of the double knots. And after he got back into playing music, and then one morning I woke up, like, kind of like lightning had struck me. And I woke up and I sat up and I said, I want to learn how to play bass. And he got up, didn't hardly say a word, just got up, got dressed, and went to the pawn shop and bought me a bass.
Oh, that's bitching.
And came back.
Dan Electro Longhorn
at the pawn shop. Bought me the bass, came back home, and started teaching me how to play.
Wow, the word ain't out of bass now. Look, we're at the end of the first time. We're going to continue this. This is bitching. August, I wish. April 8, 2020. Hotel Fire 2. April 8, 2020. It's the second hour of a lot from Pedro Show.
With yours, you could say I've got a fever. Your love is the only cure. Your love is the only cure. Missed you. My heart aches. Your love is the only cure. Your love is the only cure. We don't have that much, you know.
forenzičke serije, domaća verzija, američka sna. Dobro paše, klinci malo zimić, podeljena mišljenja i podeljen grad.
Yeah. I'm lonesome as I can be. I hear that lonesome train along that lonesome track. I'm coming to find my baby. I'm coming to take her back. But she done told me that she'd be gone. Yes, she done told me along that lonesome, along that lonesome track. I hear that lonesome train. 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 We'll be right back.
Wofford Pedro Show. Start hour two off with The Only Cure from Bark. Then Ned O'Millick Cooperative with Balkan 90th, Ned there in Trieste. Tall, Black, and Bitter. Barron's Whitfield, The Savages. He's out of Boston, huh? Or near there. Dex Romweber, he's North Carolina. Lonesome Train. He kind of got going again, the two-piece, the drum guitar. He had this guy named Crow on the drums. Got to play with him once with Edward. Elaine Anderson after that with Mako Loop. And finally, Waste Your Breath by Bark. Okay, so, Sue, you're like alluding to the beginnings of what became Bark?
Not then.
Okay.
That was just Tim had started.
Okay, don't let me fuck up the story, Brent.
Tim had started playing again, and then, you know, when I started learning how to play bass, I was on stage with him in 6 months.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of evolved into, we had it turned into a three piece. We went through, you know, a few drummers over 10 years and whatnot. And, you know, that went on for, yeah, that went on for about 10, 12 years, something like
that.
What
was that called?
Tim Lee Three.
It dropped out there. Say it again.
The Tim Lee Three.
Tim Lee Three. Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We know who to blame. See, that's why I've been in several different projects, but if the project has my name, yeah, I'm the shot caller, so you know who to blame.
It's not
a collaboration, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole time, you know, I not the whole time, but at some point in there, I kind of started writing lyrics on sticky notes and putting them on his desk, and that was kind of how we evolved into writing songs together.
Oh, okay.
And then after, it was about 5-6 years ago, we had built out part of our basement and put in a rehearsal space because we were losing our space that us and several bands played it, practiced in. And so
that word because I have yet to hear a basketball player say, I'm going to go to the gym and rehearse some hoops. I mean, what's with this shit? We're not actors. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. So we built out this part of our basement and started practicing down there with just our band, Tim Lee Three, and we bought a cheap drum kit just to sit down there so our drummer wouldn't have to lug his stuff in.
That's why I got one in my fucking pad. I got tired of waiting from the setup and tear down.
Yeah. There's no point in wasting everybody's time.
That's right. Fuck that.
So, so one day I was like, I want to learn how to play drums, and I asked our drummer at the time, Chris Braddis, because he taught kids how to play drums. And I said, surely you could teach me, and he did. He taught me how to read charts, and he got me started. And so one day I would just go down to the basement and practice and play around, and I always started out practicing to Creedence songs.
Doug Clifford.
Do what?
Doug Clifford.
Yeah.
So you know, by the time Cosmo, I think he's got like 18-inch hi-hats.
Dang.
Well, that's nothing. I've recorded with Greg Sarnier, you know, the Deerhoof Cat. He had 22s. He had to have holes drilled in the bottom because it wouldn't close. Look, I want to play Chimneyville.
All right.
Oh. No, that's not right one.
Thank you. as campaigns need the traffic lights. On Capitol Street, I played in the shadows, in the summer heat. Day so hot, your sneakers peeled themselves off of your feet. Stuck to the pavement when you cross the street. At Chimneyville, we learned to stand straight and tall. Thank you.
saw myself and realized I had a choice. There'll be no more crying today. No more crying today. No more crying today. No more crying today. Find a way. Took so long to find the words. Took the world another day. There'll be no more crying today. No more crying today. No more crying today. No more crying today.
There'll be no more crying. without company. laid out on the couch. I sink right in. I'm way too comfortable. This rut I'm in.
fire with a broken rifle. Kill the rivals with an open Bible. You can find your idols in a fallen title. Where you raise them to spin and spiral. Time spent on a muddy final. Found the money, but the water's clear. Clearly, y'all ain't around right here. Stomping around like it's a good idea. Sugar shake it up and see they live.
Peter Show. We just heard Chimneyville by Bart. Then Ha Ha Tonka Heart with Race to the Bottom. Yeah, we all know that one. Luke Winslow King with No More Crying Today. Sarah Shook and the Disarmers. Misery Without Company. Scott H. Burham, Cripple and Crazy. Chris Burns. Trophy for Atrophy. Get it. Craig Bell, careful with that axe body wash. Craig was the bass man for the Rocket and the Tombs, the band before Peru. Apocalypse Shimmy by Bart. Okay, so you're teaching yourself drums via Tim Three drummer man,
and yeah.
Bart comes out of this.
Yes. Well, Tim would hear me. He would be upstairs, and he could hear me downstairs playing along to Creedence, and one day he came down and he says, I want to play with you. I was like, okay.
Okay.
So we just kind of started
making up songs
on the spot.
Well, I thought he got on the guitar and started doing Creedence with you.
Well, learning other people's songs is like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Making them up's a lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that.
But yeah. But we didn't have a bass six in the house, and he started like,
people might not know that. That's a bass guitar, people, but with the strings really close together and small.
Yeah.
It's even got a fucking whammy bar, I think.
Yeah, and it's tuned like a guitar but a whole octave lower.
But like a bass.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's
the strings are really close together, so it's Jack Bruce played one in the first Cream.
I know, it's crazy that he played the stuff that he played on one of these.
He was a little guy, so maybe, a little hand. But, man, that dude, I got to say, he probably had most influence on me. And then, I was in Mobile playing a gig when he passed away, and, man, it wrecked me after. Well, I found out right before I went on stage, and it was a terrible gig.
Wow.
Because I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then, the thing where you get on the YouTube.com, and you're looking at the videos and drinking whiskey, and that's why I did it, my friend Todd's after the thing there, and I just owed that guy a lot.
Yeah.
The thing was, I had an 8-track, so, man, I'd have to wait for the motherfucker. It'd be the total time divided by 4, right, because it was a loop.
Yeah.
Where D. Boone could lift the stylus, and put it back. But thank you, Jack Bruce. So you, a Fender 6, huh?
Yeah, it was around that time I'd played one in studios before. Like Mitch Easter had one at his studio, like a real one from the '60s, and I was always fascinated with them. And we started, you know, just playing with the two of us. I saw that they were kind of reissuing them and they were, you know, pretty available. So I thought, you know, that'd be cooler than a guitar because you can kind of, you can work a lot of angles. You can ride some low strings and play up around the 12th, 14th fret, and you're playing bass and guitar kind of.
Sure.
And so, and I always played guitar with a pick and two fingers anyway, so it wasn't hard to kind of adapt to that. But it was just fun because it was completely different than what I'd been doing and took a different approach and a certain kind of discipline that you don't have to have with just playing guitar. Because if you're playing guitar, you want to be Keith Richards. You want to be loose and all that. But, you know, if you're playing bass and guitar, you kind of want to hold it together.
Yeah, know? I think country guys used them for tic-tac bass.
Exactly, yeah.
And then there was another trick with hard rock. I think all that, what's it called, Rocks, Aerosmith? All the guitars doubled. That big riff rock, those big heavy riffs, that's all doubled with the baritone.
Yeah. The song Back in the Saddle has that.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, because I remember I saw Aerosmith on that tour when I was a teenager, and Joe Perry actually pulled out a bass six to play on that song.
Here's my trippiest live Fender six live thing. Jay has me come to the fucking Rose Bowl to play with Dinosaur. They're opening for Cure. That guy has like four dudes come on stage with him.
Yeah.
But the keyboards are so loud you couldn't tell what they were playing anyway, you know.
Yeah.
They're so loud. They had whammy bars. All, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. And what kind of amp did you play it through?
Well, I played it through two amps. I played it through an old custom transistor bass amp.
Okay.
And then a small guitar amp, tube amp, you know. So I've always done it like that to get kind of growl and
and start at the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah, and plenty of high, you know, low end out of the custom. So it's I've always done it like that.
Yeah, yeah. Even when you record, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Do you go direct?
Well, you know, in recording, what I've been doing is recording guitar amp and bass amp, but running a direct signal that doesn't have any effect on it.
Coming right out of the bass, yeah.
Yeah, and then when we're mixing, we can add shit if we want to make it, you know, like we want this section to sound different, so let's put some kind of weird fuzz on the bass there, sure. You know. And it's a fun thing to do
you
in
know
mixing.
What?
I got a two-piece band.
Dudes are doing that with electric guitar now. Because there's this technique called reamping. So you want the pure sound out of the guitar.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second. What's that?
It's cool with a two-piece because you can add a part without overdubbing. You know, you just, it's already there. You just turn it up and screw it, you know, fuck with it somehow.
Okay. Listen up, people. Tim knows. We're at the end of the second hour. April 8, 2020. Special guest, Bart. Hold tight. Hour three. April 8, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show. We'll be right back.
on the way for us to witness the first light of a day. The sun is never late, stretching come. They only went off when we turned our own lights on. The stars are seen from other places, rain is night. But many don't like it when it blocks up the sun, even though it gives us light. The grid is drunk, the wind and crazy. It don't care if we work our lives way back, 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 if we are lazy. Either way, the wind still blows.
And so to take a house so full of love, change things on a sale, to put money ahead of a workforce mission to sell us and move us, no matter how good and true to the fight we are. Give us a fair chance to show we run things right. Over the many years, I have friends here and fond memories of a place, of a clubhouse to go to, a place to come to, and keep it up with style, run the place like a top and send us out to work. Score in the three departments, deliver the work order day. Convenience is a killer. If it means putting money first, don't shift us away from what we have grown to love. Just for the money's sake, move us with care, but maybe, but don't sell us out.
Pedro Show starting off the third hour with Wired for Fun from Bark, the tragic comedy, Everyday Life, Rebirth of Mother Gaia, that's the bassman for Tragic Comedy, both from the Hill. Thought of him after that. He's hunkered down in New Mexico right now. Sudden Don't Wait. Bahan Boy featuring Holly Habstrigal. That's a Dutch name. AJ lives in Amsterdam and works at the Paradiso. Good guy. Love AJ. Used to play bass in Donkey. Of course, had to give it up. Everybody, not everybody, but it happens with drums too. You know, well, I've graduated to real life now. And although you can't have a good band without a good drummer or a good bass, whatever. I never figured that shit out. And I haven't even moved to 5th Street. So you're light years ahead of me, Tim, with your 6. The Opium Trail, leaving here. I think this guy, you know, this cat's from the 60s. They were doing a cover band. Well, that was rampant in those days where you make whole albums of covers.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's fighting the COVID-19 right now, so everybody think of him. Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer's cousin Madison, don't sell us. And finally, when I was in heaven sitting down, bark. So we were talking recording, right, Tim?
Yeah. Yeah, we track everything live and usually redo for the vocals. But like on the first record, Susan did all of her vocals live while she was playing drums, which I always thought was pretty damn impressive.
Now, would you use a mic on a stand or a headset like Madonna?
You know, we tried different angles of, you know, it wasn't a headset, but at one point the mic was coming over my head into in front of my face.
With a gooseneck.
With a gooseneck, yeah. Yeah.
We played with a band where the dude was wearing a helmet and had a flange with a gooseneck. I think it was it was at the Bayou in Baton Rouge.
The Bayou. Yeah,
before it burned down. Right across the street from LSU or across the road. And the guy had a flange on his motorcycle helmet and it came down in his mouth. And it was a two-piece. You know, and Bob Log has some kind of and the lightning bolt, it's stuffed in a sock in his mouth or something.
Yeah.
So everybody's got their own way of doing this shit, right? So yeah. I'm just always curious. I mean, there's been some great, I think the only white band signed to Motown was Rare Earth, and that guy sang.
Yeah.
And played drums. They had a dude that was on cowbell the whole time. His hand must have fucking been like, looked like a mitten, right? Hold the fucking, being a fucking cowbell.
That's a specialized gig.
That is. He has one job.
One job.
Yeah, but can you imagine at the end of the night, your hand, the one that's holding, well, maybe the one with the stick too, but Jesus Christ, the blows, the blows.
Yeah.
But you know, for the love of music, you got one job.
You mentioned the Bayou.
Yeah.
It's really funny. You know, that place was there forever. And sure. That's where, you know, like, you know, Baton Rouge's original punk band, the Shit Dogs, played all the time.
Yeah.
We actually have a new song that references the Shit Dogs playing at the Bayou.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know, that place was, you know, it was very hip, very open.
Yeah.
You know, no problem. No rock and roll. You know, in the old days, I try to tell people the rock and rollers were worse than the Square Johns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was like fucked up. So fucked up. And then there was something across the street called the Varsity, and then down the road, now I think the Spanish Moon. Well, I don't know about now, but the Spanish Moon. And, I was talking to somebody from Lafayette the last show, and I never got to play there or Shreveport either.
Yeah.
With all, you know, I've done, if you call tour more than a month, I've done 67, and there's still places I've missed.
Yeah.
So, usually, how long is it? You guys sent me 3 records, right?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, 15, yeah. 17, and just lately. And so, how long does it take you to do these things?
You know, the last one was the one we probably put the most work into, and we tracked it over a couple of days and then spent a day or two with some overdubs just because we had some special guests, you know, Baguetta and some of those people came in and played on songs. And then, you know, just a few days mix, a couple of days mixing it, you know.
But it's pretty raw. Okay, you just, you know, do it and let it fly. I like that. I want to play here Interstate Blues.
Thank you. shoes, a thousand miles behind, and nothing to lose. This highway's long, but my mind is set. I'll never remember what I couldn't forget. Got my foot on the gas.
Thank you. jamming in my car, in my closet at home. Got a real guitar, got snakeskin boots and a rhinestone coat. Got a red bandana and a pack of smokes. I'm a rock star. I'm a rock star. Late at night when the people sleep, I'm in my attic, jamming out like a geek. I got a wall of amps, plus a Fender and Boss. I got BG pedals with a sound that rocks. I'm a rock star. Yeah, I'm a rock star. Freedom I seek, I'm gonna rock this thing till my knees go weak. I'm a rock star, jamming in my car, in my car at home. I got a real guitar. I'm in my attic, jamming out like a geek. I'm a rock star. Still, I'm a rock star. I got the skull light on, fog in the air. Got a face paint and a really good hair. I got the guitar strung low for the stars.
disease. You may have all you want, baby, if I got something you need. Well, you're semi-good looking, and on the streets again. You think you're really cooking, baby? You better find yourself a friend. Ain't talking about love. Lost a lot of friends there, baby. Ain't got no time to mess around. If you want, you got to lean on me, baby. 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 Ain't talking about love. That's rotten to the core.
for Pedro show. Off air, we discussed it. You know, we were in our biohazard mode and doing our science talk about edge of life entities, copy machines, and 100-year-old pandemics we didn't learn from. But we're going to learn from this one, right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So, Interstate Blues. Yeah, we're not on the interstate. It's blue. Mark, Andre Vita out of Berlin with Sop Foggy. San Ardo with Pseudo Rockstar. And MS-45 Zigzags. You know, when I canceled the tour, this motherfucker, oh, you're real punk rock, Watt. You're listening to the government. I ain't punk. Okay. Zigzags with MS-45. And he talked about love from the beginning, thrust and mountain offensive. That's Brother Phil up in Big Bear. And finally, Ballpark, as in hitting it out because they swung for the fence. Yeah, when I was a kid, and I found out about bass, wow, this is like right field in Little League. This is where you put the retarded friend. And yeah, D-Boone said the words were just thinking out loud. He said, you know, the real political part is making the drums and bass as well as the guitar. I think he got it from the R&B guys, you know, because, right, you play clipped and real trebly. Of course, me and Georgie were with it. But that was his idea, to make the band, the trio, letting the guitar. You know, we come out of arena rock. For us, that's the big difference between the movement. It's not really a style of music. It's more just a way of doing things and stuff. Because, you know, I did 125 months with Stooges, and there was all kinds of garage bands and little labels and stuff in the 60s. It just got all lost in arena rock.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we grew up with.
Same thing, then. You can relate. I'm curious. What's next?
We've got a batch of new songs that we're kind of itching to record as soon as we can. We're not set up for doing a recording at home, so we're going to have to go to somebody's shed and make it happen. But
one at a time.
Yeah. Yeah, we got shows booked this summer that we're trying to decide whether we got to cancel them or not, and you know.
No. The word is, we're getting rid of the C word. We're replacing it with the P word, postpone.
True. So,
all right.
You know, and for
it's
you know,
just like with the O word. Oh, we got rid of that. We got less young and more young.
Yeah.
We gotta defeat reality with the concept. If we just semantically work all this out, no problem, you know.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'll take it.
But your practice pad, so it's good for practice, but not for recording.
Yeah, we just, you know, we never got, you know, this, you know, when I was younger, like in my 20s, I would
more
make these
younger, home, more younger.
When I was more younger, yeah. And in my 20s, I would make these extensive home demos of these songs. And then I found that, like, when I went in the studio, I just wanted to recreate that. And I wasn't a good enough engineer or had good enough gear to make records that sounded good at home. So I eventually just threw that out the window with the notion that, like, you'll just take a song into a band and see what everybody does with it. And that's way more interesting to me than, you know, me sorting out some parts or even the two of us sorting out some parts. It's more fun when we just go, here's a song and start playing it and see what happens.
Oh, you mean, Tim, the idea of the demo?
Yeah.
You don't like that, yeah. Where you work all everybody else's parts, and then they learn them.
Yeah, that's no fun.
Yeah. It's not really collaborating, right?
No, and like with Susan and I, even when it was the Tim Lee 3, once she started writing and singing more, then it from that point on, it's been a complete collaboration, you know, and that's just more interesting to me than what can my ego produce, you know, because my ego gets tired easy.
And you need the sticky notes.
That's right. I need the sticky notes. I need somebody to finish my sentences.
That's what being married's all about.
Yeah.
Do the words actually come first sometimes?
All the time.
Oh, all the time.
Just about, yeah. It's rare to start with a riff or anything.
I tell you about me, it's not words, but it is title.
If
I don't have a fucking title, and usually title's the last thing, right, for most folks, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I need it first.
That's awesome.
So I got focused. You know, everything's got to aid and abet to realize that fucking title.
I like that.
Okay. But maybe it's the same kind of idea as the words. Like, you're going to put together the music as a motif to, you know, make these words musical.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, most of the time with me, chorus comes first.
The cars, okay.
Susan writes really good choruses.
You know what? Ig hates the concept of this idea of the pre-chorus, man. He just told me, I remember we were in the studio, he goes, Mike, what the fuck is that for? I hate that word.
I've heard people say that.
Well, it, you know, again, it's semantics, and actually it's kind of organizing things, right? And,
yeah.
Are you guys counters? You count 4 of these, 8 of those, 12 of those, 13, or are you more like event-driven, like cues?
It's kind of in between. It's really a matter of...
It's whatever the song wants.
Yeah, you know, we'll stop and go, well, how long does this section go? And we'll go, I don't know, let's just play it till it tells us what needs to go somewhere,
yeah.
You know? That's kind of, I mean, I guess it's sort of a lazy man's arrangement process.
Well, the lazy man is making the drummer sing while she's playing so you don't have to count.
If I sang as good as she does, I wouldn't.
No. But you know what I mean? The worst thing in the world is fucking counting. Is it 127 or is it 126?
Exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh, fuck.
So we just, in practicing, figure out what feels right, and then we adapt that.
Well, I don't really have a problem that much with practice, but we got this thing we call red light fever, like when you know you're being recorded.
Yeah.
Total pants shitter.
Yeah.
out comes the pecan logs, you know.
Yeah.
And you're feeling all that texture. I mean, I just, because you know it's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
After you're gone, you know, tombstone, right? And so.
Yeah.
But also they're documents. I'm so glad. You know, in the old days, we just saw them as flyers. But these are fucking works.
No, they really are.
So
you know?
I really look forward to what you guys. Where can people find you on the internet?
Our website is bark-loud.com.
Good. Got that people, B-A-R-K hyphen?
Yes.
What's it, sound?
Loud.
I already fucking forgot.
Bark-loud.com.
Loud, L-O-U-D, people from overseas, because they might not know how to spell, you know, English. They might think it's L-O-W-D.com. It's been a great honor. When you get this new album done, will you come on the show back and talk about it?
Hell yeah.
Okay, please, because I love what you're doing, and I want you to keep on keeping on. And plus, I want to get... we got some more Knoxville people coming on in the next couple of weeks, but it seems like you guys got to see. Much respect.
Well, it's interesting. You know, if you look at the surface, you think it's really all kind of Americana, Appalachian kind of thing. But, man, you scratch beneath it, there's a lot of really cool shit.
It's really diverse.
Great. That's what music's about.
Yep.
It's fabric to connect us, not to smother us.
Yep.
People, it's been April 8, 2020. Keep your powder dry.